Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday about knowing God. And yesterday was nearly all introduction to this, just talking about how important it is to know God, not just come to Him to get our needs met, but to know Him, have relationship with Him. You know, if we would do that, I'm gonna be saying this a lot of different ways this week, and I'll be explaining it over and over and saying this so many different ways that I believe everybody will get it. But if we knew God, it would prevent so many of the problems that we have. For instance, just in the area of your health, you know, the Scripture says that a merry heart does good like a medicine. If we were to know God, it says in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if we were in the presence of the Lord, knowing God, experiencing the love and the joy that comes from Him, it would do good like a medicine. And many of the diseases that are stress-related and depression, things that suppress our immune system, things like this, just in this one little narrow area, our lives would be totally different. Our finances would be different because we wouldn't have to take a pill to put us to sleep and another one to wake us up and another one to regulate this and regulate that. If we were just dwelling in the presence of the Lord, there'd be fullness of joy. A merry heart would be doing good like a medicine. And our lives would take on a totally different relationship. If you were having the joy of the Lord in your heart, I guarantee you, your relationships with other people would be totally different. One of the reasons that people are so short-tempered and so harsh in their treatment of other people is because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And many people aren't enjoying the unconditional love and acceptance of God. And therefore, you can't give away what you don't have. It's impossible for you to treat other people in love and mercy and grace if you aren't receiving that from God Himself. If we were in relationship with God the way we were supposed to be and just enjoying the presence of God and having God continually build you up and encourage you and tell you how much He loves you and extend mercy and grace towards you as He desires to do, if we were in relationship with Him and receiving this, you know what? Your relationships with other people would transform. You would be able to forgive. You'd be able to turn the other cheek. You would be able to act out what has been modeled to you by the Lord. But the truth is, most people don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the grace of God. Many people see God as a harsh, critical, mean God, and they wind up reproducing this to other people. So again, I could just keep making those comparisons over and over and over, but this is the point I'm trying to get across this week, is that instead of just coming to God and trying to get a need met and receiving from Him, if we would know God personally, then everything that you need would come out of that relationship with God. You know, let me use a verse out of Ephesians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul praying a prayer for the Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, beginning with verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, there's a lot in those verses, but I just want to focus on verse 19. It says that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You know, that sounds like a contradiction of terms. If it passes knowledge, then how can you know it? This is talking about two different kinds of knowledge. It's talking about an experiential knowledge, that you would experience the love of Christ, which surpasses just mere intellectual knowledge about God loving you. And I tell you, I believe that most people in their relationship with God If you were to ask most people who claim to be Christian and claim to have some kind of a relationship with God, and you would say, does God love you? Most people would say, oh yes, I know that God loves me. But then, in practical terms, they aren't experiencing the love of God. They feel empty. They feel dry. They aren't enjoying the presence of God, the joy of the Lord. Again, I refer to that verse I've already used, Psalm 16:11. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If you just don't feel full of joy, if you aren't overwhelmed with the pleasure and the grace of God, it's not because the presence of the Lord isn't there. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. God is always with us, and so the presence of the Lord is always there. The fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore are always there, but we aren't always receiving it. Because with most people, it's just an intellectual thing that God loves me, but it's not an experiential thing. So this is saying that if you would experience the love of Christ, which passes mere intellectual knowledge about it, notice that the last part of this verse says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, now that is a powerful promise. Filled with all the fullness of God. And again, this just really defies my ability to explain this because God is infinite. And to be filled with the fullness of God, that's just hard to wrap our carnal minds around and grab hold of this truth that if we could experience the love of God instead of just have mental assent to it, then we would have the fullness of God operating on the inside of us. Boy, I tell you, if the fullness of God, if that won't meet what your need is, then nothing will. I guarantee you, sickness in your body, if you have the fullness of God, all of His power, all of His virtue, just think about how Jesus ministered to people while He was here on this earth in His physical body, and He raised the dead. And I mean, He opened blind eyes. Physical needs were no problem. He was able to meet every single need that He came against. If you are born again, you have that same power right there on the inside of you and available to you, but it's a matter of are you experiencing it? If you experience the love of God instead of just mere knowledge that He loves you, then you will have this fullness of healing functioning on the inside of you. If you have a financial need, I guarantee you Jesus was able to meet every financial challenge He had. He was able to tell Peter to go catch the first fish, and in the mouth of this fish was a coin that He paid for him and for Jesus for their taxes. Jesus was able to supply all of these things. Your financial problems wouldn't be a problem if you were just experiencing the love of God. You know, there was an instance in my life. If some of you aren't familiar with our program, if you just flipped through the dial and caught this, you may not know this, but I had a personal encounter with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968. And the long and the short of that is that I knew that God loved me unconditionally. I began to experience an unconditional, unqualified love from God. And my life just transformed. That's what started me on the direction I'm going. That's what got me into the ministry. And after I'd been in the ministry for over a decade, this is probably 10 or 15 years into the ministry, we just came up against a lot of problems, financial problems. I had this goal, this desire in my heart of reaching out and touching people, and yet at that time I was only on radio and we were struggling financially, and it just seemed like that the pressures of the finances and a number of different things just were kind of pressing in on me. And I understood a lot of things about the Word. I was standing, I was speaking the Word of God, I was confessing the Word, I was acting properly. I was doing all of the right things. But in my heart, you know what? I had moved away from just understanding how much God loved me. And I remember, this is around 1980-something, the early 80s. I remember having a dream, and in this dream, it's a long story, but the long and the short of it is God just once again reminded me how much He loved me. And that if God loved me enough to forgive my sins and to touch my life and do all the things that He had done for me in the past, that love was certainly enough to carry me through any of these financial problems that I had. And you know, when I woke up from that dream, nothing in the natural had changed. But the difference was I was just once again not only just saying that God loved me, but I had been refreshed. It had just reminded me of how strong God's love for me was. And I mean, immediately the discouragement, the fear of failure that I was fighting and all of those kind of things were just gone. And I mean, my attitude totally changed. And once you change on the inside, then it's just a matter of time until you'll see it on the outside. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And so as I begin to start thinking again and just experiencing the love of God, the Bible says, Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. I tell you, your faith level will shoot through the roof as you begin to experience the love of God. And within a very short period of time, after I changed on the inside, my outside changed, my physical circumstances changed, and I saw God supply those needs miraculously. And you know, the opposite of this is true also, that if you aren't changed on the inside, if you aren't experiencing the love of God, if your faith hasn't been built, if you're discouraged, if you are struggling, then you can take everything that I teach or anybody else teaches about how to believe God, and it's God's will for you to prosper, and it's God's will to supply this need, and you can take all of the truths of the Word of God. But if you just operate in the principles of the Word and don't do it out of love relationship with God, then the Word will actually work against you, because as you think in your heart, so are you. You may be confessing the Word and saying, I believe I'm healed. I believe that God meets this need. You may get people to agree with you, and you may go through the steps. But on the inside, if you're discouraged and disheartened as you think in your heart, that's the way it's going to be on the outside. See, I was giving this testimony that when I changed on the inside and once again the love of God was just refreshed, boom, within a very short period of time, I saw the external change. But the opposite of that is true, that if you are discouraged on the inside, if you aren't enjoying the presence and the love of God, if it is not working in your life, then you can do all of the right things in the external and it just won't have the same results. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the whole chapter is talking about this very thing. It starts off by saying, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels and have not charity, which is talking about God's kind of love, it profits you nothing. If you have faith so that you can remove mountains, if you understand everything and the gift of prophecy, if you give all of your goods to feed the poor, or if you make the ultimate sacrifice and give your body to be burned, and yet don't do it motivated by love, it profits you nothing. That's a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. And so this is saying that, see, you can be doing all of these right things, but the attitude of your heart, what's going on at the heart level, is what really dominates you. And this is what so many people are missing. They are going through, they're hearing someone like me say that it's God's will for you to prosper. God wants to heal you. God wants to bless you. So they, out of desperation, grab hold of that truth and they start trying to implement the principles. They may even go to a meeting and get me or somebody else to pray for you, and you go through these things. But on the heart level, you aren't experiencing God. And the Scripture says again, Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you are on the heart level is ultimately going to reproduce in your physical experience. And so you can come and let me lay hands on you or somebody else lay hands on you until we rub all of the hair off the top of your head, and you might get a temporary fix. You might get help in this area, but ultimately the way you are at the heart level is going to be the way that your life goes. And this is what I'm trying to get across this week, is that most people are trying to get God's benefits in their life without truly having the relationship with God that should be the focus and the goal of every individual Christian. Most Christians are after what God can produce rather than what God is, than who God is. And I'm trying to say that that's getting the cart before the horse. We need to reverse this. We need to recognize that knowing God is the goal. You may have sickness in your body, but the reason that you aren't able to believe and receive your healing is deeper than just, you know, the fact that you haven't done this or you haven't done that. The bottom line is that if you knew God, if you knew Him and had that joy unspeakable and full of glory working on the inside of you, your faith would go through the roof. Again, Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. Once you understand love, your faith would rise up. You would see the healing come to pass. So instead of dealing with the root cause right down here at this level, most people are up here on the surface trying to get something and deal with this problem. But that problem is actually a result of a root problem, which there's many things involved, but if you trace it all back to its bottom line, it's knowing God. If you know God, it makes your healing work better, it makes your prosperity work better, it makes your relationships work better, it causes your emotions to be totally different. Everything in your life changes if you have a vibrant working relationship with God. And again, this is what this verse is saying. This prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 says, and to know the love of Christ, talking about an experiential relationship with the love of Christ, which passes just mental knowledge, just intellectual knowledge. The results of that is that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, what a tremendous thing to have the fullness of God operating on the inside of us. And this verse is saying it comes out of knowing, not just the surface knowledge that God loves you, but the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. There is dimension to the love of God. You don't ever get it all completely figured out. It's like hitting a mine, and you just, it's an infinite resource. You might mine part of it and get, you know, enough to meet your needs right now, but you'll never get all of the riches out of that mine that are there. Knowing God is greater than what any of us could ever explain or experience. And I guarantee you, if you know God experientially, then the result is that all of the fullness of God begins to start functioning in your life. You know, if you know God, like I said, your faith will work better. You will see better outcome. But if for whatever reason, and this is a separate topic, I hadn't got time to go into it, you don't always see everything work out the way that it's God's plan for your life. And that's because primarily failures on our part, sometimes other people are involved. The unbelief and the atmosphere around you can affect things. But for whatever the reason, if you don't see the perfect will of God come to pass in your life, but yet if you knew God, you'll reach a place to where it doesn't really matter. Amen. You'll reach a place to where knowing God is so awesome that so what if you never saw your financial needs met in this life? You know God, and that makes you rich. That makes you richer than people that live in million-dollar mansions, and yet they're messed up on the inside. They don't have the peace. They don't have the knowledge of God. You know, if you never saw your finances turn around, which I believe God does want to prosper us in this life, but I'm saying if you struggled in that area, and yet if you truly knew God, you know what? It wouldn't make that big of a deal, because knowing God makes you a rich person, and you'd be able to deal with it. I believe it's God's will for you to be well in your body, but if you truly knew God, and if you had the attitude that the Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 1, he loved God so much, he was so much in relationship with God, that he says, I have a longing to depart this life and to enter into the next life, to where I can know Him face to face, and there wouldn't be any limitations between him and God. He would be experiencing God on even a higher plane. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is even better. Now, how do you deal with a guy like that? If he was to come down with cancer and if the doctors were going to tell him that he was going to die, based on his own statements in Philippians chapter 1, he would have just reached up and have kissed the doctor and said, this is awesome news. Now, I believe that his knowing God, and because of that, his revelation and the faith that it produced, he would have seen the healing power of God manifest and he'd have been able to walk in victory. But I'm saying that even if you, for whatever reason, don't see the physical manifestation of your healing, if you know God, you'd reach a place to where it wouldn't overwhelm you. It wouldn't cause fear and dread. You know, when I minister to people who are terminally ill, one of the very first things I'll minister to them about is that they have panic. They have fear, and based on John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You've got to calm yourself down. You've got to get out of this panic mode And that's one of the very first steps. I believe Jesus taught his disciples that, so that's one of the first things I do. And I tell people often, I just basically go back to their personal relationship with God. Do you know God? Are you born again? Let's say the worst case scenario happened, and what happened if you did die? Is it so bad? We sing about when we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be, and we talk about it, and then the doctor tells you you're going there, and you start crying. Something's wrong with this picture. You know, basically, I'll go back and say, look, first of all, I don't believe you're going to die. I'm going to pray for you. I believe for a miracle, but get rid of this fear and get rid of this panic and this grief and sorrow. If you did die, it is not going to be terrible. You are going to be in the presence of God. And by getting people over that fear and just to start thinking about, like right after Jesus told his disciples, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The very next thing he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, one of the ways that you don't let your heart be troubled is to start recognizing that when we die, it doesn't end. We go into the presence of the Lord. There are mansions prepared for us. We are going to be in the presence of God. And you know what that does? That takes away the panic. That takes away the grief, the sorrow. It builds relationship with God. And so one of the things I'll do with people who are terminally ill is just start talking to them about heaven. Look, don't be afraid of dying. Don't act like it's so terrible. And I'm not saying that to prepare them for death, but to get them out of this fear and into recognizing that, man, we know God. And if we win, we win. And if we lose, we win. We cannot lose for winning. And see, that's a positive position. It's just like these verses are saying. If we experience the love of God, then it will cause us to be filled with all the fullness of God. I guarantee you, regardless of what you're experiencing in your life, the antidote to it is just personal relationship with God. God will minister to you. God will comfort you. He will show you a way out that you may be able to escape. He will give you victory. God has already provided everything that you need. But instead of just going after what He can produce, you need to know Him personally. That's the point that I'm trying to make and trying to get across to you on these programs. And this first week, before we get into talking about how do you really begin to know God and experience this life, the very first thing I've got to do is just to put the emphasis on that this ought to be the goal. Knowing God should be the goal, not just getting something from God, but knowing Him. What a tremendous privilege that God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wants to know you and me. It's not just something that He made available. He desires this. The Lord is the one instructing us to draw near to Him so that He can draw near to us. I tell you, this is important, and I'm going to say this so many ways, I believe you're going to be able to get it.